Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I will lay on your hearts this evening comes from the third chapter of 1 Kings, verses 1 to 15, as follows. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. That is our text for the consideration tonight. We pray that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to give us his intended meaning and build us up in the faith he has given each one of us. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, we've all thought of it before. If I could just have 3 wishes. And really, when you read this text, it's an amazing thing, because this is exactly what Solomon is given by the Lord. And it's not just 3. He says, ask. Ask what you have, what you want. What do you want? Just ask. What an amazing thing to be granted whatever you wish for. Solomon was the son of David, and in our theme, our Lenten theme this year, we are considering the King of Kings, and also the kings of the Bible associated and working under the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. We have considered King David, Solomon's father. We have considered Saul, King Saul, the first of the kings of the children of Israel. Tonight, King Solomon, the king who had everything. Solomon, the son of David, was king. In fact, it sounds like he's a real young man here when he says to the Lord, "I'm but a child, I go in and out." But actually, he already had one child, and he was a father. And he had just taken a wife from another blessing from God, this wife from the Pharaoh of Egypt, the daughter of Pharaoh. Proverbs 18:22, King Solomon, with his wisdom, wrote this: "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." It says that Solomon loved the Lord, but it also says in Scripture that the Lord loved Solomon. In 2 Samuel 12:24, it says, Bathsheba bore a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Same can be true for each one of us. The Lord has shown his love to us in giving his only begotten son into death to go to the cross in your behalf and mine, and that takes love. In fact, the Bible tells us that he so loved us, the world, that that's what he did for us, to take away our sins. And the Bible also tells us that we love him back in return because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Here's this same relationship that Solomon had with the Lord that you and I have. He was a believer. He loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him. At the beginning of Solomon's reign, we hear he's busy with several different building projects. He's got to build a wall around Jerusalem. He's building his own house. He's also building and got plans to build the temple of the Lord. Solomon's temple, the glory of which had no previous, there was no like before it. We always hear about King Solomon's riches, how rich he was, and the glory of the temple, and how Solomon spared no expense in giving glory to the one true God and making his house here on earth in Jerusalem the finest temple that was ever built. But meanwhile, they sacrificed and worshipped God in the high places. In fact, we are told in other places in the Old Testament that when David moved the Ark of the Covenant around, finally he brought it to Jerusalem, but one of the places he took it was to Gibeon, to this real high place. Apparently they used these high places, and the heathen did this too. They offered to their false gods in the high places. But the believers did the same thing. The idea being that in a high place you can approach God, or you can become more approachable to him, or something like that. But that's where they had their altar set up. In fact, it's said that Solomon sacrificed 1,000 sacrifices there at Gibeon. Wow. 1,000 sacrifices, 1,000 services to the Lord. So you see, Solomon was very religious. He put God first in his life. He had problems, and we'll hear about some of those things too. He turned away from the Lord in several different areas of his life. But the Lord loved Solomon, and Solomon returned that love, and he worshipped the Lord. So in a dream, God invited Solomon to ask. Ask. That's what the Lord told Solomon. Ask, what shall I give you? What was the outcome? What did Solomon ask? Well, Solomon felt the pressure of being the king. He felt this huge responsibility to be able to discern and to use wisdom, God-given wisdom, to tell right from wrong and to be able to judge the people of God. Who is capable? Who is up for those kind of things? How would you like to be in charge of, you know, how many millions of people, and be the last judge of the last say about what happens in every single court case? How would you like to have that authority, that power? How would you be able to sleep at night knowing that every one of your judgments was good? Solomon wanted the ability to do that, to arbitrate the people of God, to tell right from wrong, to be a just and good judge in the eyes of not only the people, but of God. He wanted to serve the Lord. The Lord was pleased with his request. To us, you know, God does the same thing, doesn't he? Doesn't God say to each one of us, ask, what shall I give you? In John 16, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. God tells us too, ask, what shall I give you? Is there anything too great for the Lord to give to one of his dear children? Is there anything out of his reach that doesn't belong to him, that he can't hand you on a golden platter anytime he wants to? Aren't you one of the Lord's own dear children by faith? Didn't God offer up his own son to pay the price for your sins at cost? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things, the Bible says. Ask. And don't we ask every time we use our heart-to-heart talk with God, that power of prayer, that activity that is the least and the most we can do with the Lord? We ask. Jesus also encourages us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Jesus even tells us, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask them. Sometimes we forget that we are God's children. Sometimes we forget that God owns everything and that we stand as his heirs. We are the heirs of everything God owns, which is everything. Therefore, you know, everything in the world belongs to you in a way. And if it's good for you, the Lord will grant your requests. So what's stopping us from asking the Lord for things? Well, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, or when we look at Solomon's request, we see Solomon asked for wisdom. You know, it's Solomon who wrote in the beginning of the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's not the being afraid of God. Being afraid of God, that's not the beginning of wisdom, but giving all glory to God, following his word, using that word, that powerful word of God, which is, as the holy writer to the Hebrews said, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You and I believe by faith that the word of God is strong and powerful. It's the most powerful thing in the world. And we have it. It's our greatest treasure. It's ours by faith. Everything else, the things of this world, well, they're fleeting. And the Lord makes sure that we have what we need to get through this life. He makes sure that we don't have the things we don't need that would lead us astray from him. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the Lord doesn't give me everything I ask for in my prayer. No doubt it is. Because he knows what would be hurtful and harmful to me and to you. And he doesn't allow those things to come into our possessions. Even though we say with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:21, all things are yours. Sometimes possessions are a problem for us, aren't they? And it's when we talk about King Solomon, see, the Lord not only gave him what he asked for, wisdom to judge and knowledge and understanding and a thoughtful heart, but he also gave him incredible riches. He also gave him all the enemies of the people of Israel, handed it to him. He also gave and blessed Solomon with many, many earthly blessings and riches. So sometimes for us, thinking of things, we might have a problem with it. The Bible has two commandments that encourages us to avoid coveting, right? Now the word covet, that's the 9th and 10th commandments. 9th commandment says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And the 10th commandment says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his workers, nor his animals, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now to covet means to sinfully desire to get something that belongs to somebody else. Something, a thing, a property, a possession that belongs to somebody else. To sinfully desire to get that, that's coveting. And all of us are tempted by that sin. That's why the Lord used two of his commandments to cover it. But one thing that has helped me, and may help you too, is this passage where the apostle tells us, all things are yours. In fact, he says in 2 Corinthians that we are possessors of all things. We possess everything because we stand to inherit everything that God has. So all the things of this world, they're already ours. in God, in Christ. And when we ask for them, if it's good for us, the Lord will make sure we get it. Look at the Lord's Prayer. There's seven petitions or seven things that we ask for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And you'll notice when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's not for me, myself, and I. It's always us and our. We're praying for each other too, aren't we? That's really a neat thing about the Lord's Prayer. But as far as possessions go, six of those requests in the Lord's Prayer are for spiritual blessings, much like the request that King Solomon asked for. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we sum everything, all the things up in this world under the simple words, give us this day our daily bread. And God does that. He doesn't give us more than we can handle, and he doesn't give us less than we need. It's always the right amount. And then along with that comes that blessed contentedness too. The ability to want the things we have as well as be happy with what the Lord has blessed us with in this life. That doesn't mean we can't continue to ask God for things. He says, ask, what shall I give you? When we look at King Solomon, we can say truly, he's the king who had everything. Solomon thought of the Lord's blessings to his father David, and how the Lord had blessed David to walk in the Lord's ways, to be blameless in his sight. And you know that he wasn't talking about David's perfect record of keeping the law, since David was a murderer and was an adulterer, and he did a host of other things that alienated him from God. No, Solomon was referring to the faith that the Lord had blessed his father David with, the faith that believed in the promised Messiah to come, the King of Kings, who would take away all sin, who would be the righteousness needed so that God would look at him, at his father David, and say, he walks blameless in my sight. It's the same blessed gift you and I share from the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ, who paid the price of our sins, who now looks at us and says, this child walks blameless. He is upright and perfect and holy. She never has done anything wrong. That's how God sees you and me and every believer. These are the gifts that we enjoy. Solomon understood that's the gift his father enjoyed. Solomon understood that's the gift he himself enjoyed. And really, when you think about it, that's the greatest gift of all. Faith in the forgiveness of sins, a belief in the solution to our damnation. It's Jesus Christ and the grace that God has given to each one of us through the hearing of his word. When Solomon thought of all those things, about how the Lord blessed his father David, about how the Lord would bless him, he was led to ask for wisdom to judge God's people. Pray for God's wisdom. You and I can do the same thing, can't we? Do you remember the account that shortly after Solomon's request, his wisdom was put to the test? The story is told, isn't it? You remember it. How two women came to Solomon in his court. They had recently had children, newborns. One had, by accident, snuffed out the life of her child by sleeping, rolling over at night and sleeping on her child, killed it. So then she went and switched her dead child with this other woman's live child. And of course, this came before the court of Solomon. And both women were saying the live child was their child. And so Solomon asked a soldier to take out his sword and said, divide the child and give half to each woman. Well, the woman whose child, whose baby that really was horrified and said, no, let her have it. While the woman who was trying to deceive everybody, she said, that's a good idea, let's do that. The wisdom of Solomon, to be able to judge, it was put to the test and passed with flying colors. We can understand, or we can actually taste some of the wisdom that Solomon had. We've got it written down for us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The whole book of Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, written for our learning. We can look into those things and marvel. Sure, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit used Solomon's wisdom that God gave him as a gift for your benefit and mine, even today. We too can pray for God's wisdom. And we should pray for God's wisdom, not only for ourselves, but how about like we do in the Lord's Prayer? Pray for your pastor that he has wisdom to preach. Pray for the elders and the voters of the congregation that they have wisdom to conduct meetings. Pray for the young people of our church that they continue to hear the Word of God and let that rule in their hearts and lives. There's lots of things we can pray for. James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. All we have to do is ask. Just ask, the Lord says. Solomon, the king who had everything, including the King of Kings. Solomon, by faith, believed in the promised Messiah. He knew that from his family, from his line, the Christ would come. That promise was given to his father David. Solomon carried that. He believed that promise by faith throughout his entire rule over the children of Israel. The king who had everything, wisdom and money and power and rulership over all the land, had even more. He had Jesus, the King of Kings. We too have Jesus, don't we? We aren't Solomon, but we have Solomon's greater son, Jesus, and we believe in him by faith. We have Jesus, personally made our own Lord in the gift of baptism which God has given us, washing away our sins, reminding us that the Savior has created us new creatures, born again by water and the Spirit. We have Jesus, his real presence, really there in the bread and wine for us Christians to eat and to drink when we celebrate Holy Communion, forgiving our sins. We have Jesus as the King who rules all things here, right there, in our hearts, for our good. Not only in our hearts, but he rules everything that happens in the world, and we know he will rule right on into eternity, all for our good. We have Jesus, just like King Solomon did. So just like King Solomon, we too have everything. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, the apostle wrote, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So you see, my friends, in the King of Kings, we really do have everything. We have every reason, the only reason that matters really, to be strong, to keep the charge of the Lord, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments. Because when we have Christ, there's nothing this world has to offer that can add to everything we already have. Amen.